following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled Matters of the Heart, a study through the book of 2 Corinthians. More information about this study is available at www.refugefamily.com.
Father, as we get into this study today, Lord, I pray, Father, for your words to be spoken. I pray, God, that you would direct every word that's said. Lord, that we would be alert to what you're doing, that when we finish this 2 Corinthians, Lord, that our lives will indeed change, that we will look at the things that we have learned and we will put them into action, Lord, for what good is it if we just listen and we don't take heed to it and we don't put feet to it. Lord, thank you for this 2 Corinthians, and we pray that you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so if you would open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I really did labor over this one because I kept reading it and reading it and reading it and thinking, you know, the way that I read it was that Paul is really angry about this. And yet, the more I went over it, the more I realized what we've already learned about Paul and his love for them, his compassion for them, his broken heart for them. I read it in a completely different way, with just that compassionate heart that says, please, guys, would you get your life together? Can you just hear him saying that? Can you just get your life together in the Lord? In the Lord. And so that's what chapter 13 says to me. Bill handed me something this morning from one of the magazines he was reading, and it says that the two most important days in your life are the day you're born and the day you find out why. The day you're born and the day you find out why. Chapter 13. The day that they were born and the day that they found out why they were born. They were born to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that 2 Corinthians, that it was written for the purpose of somehow defending his apostleship, Paul's apostleship, and somehow letting them know, I know what you guys are doing, and you're following false prophets, you're following false teachers, you're not paying attention to what you did know to be true, and now I'm going to send you this letter on the third, I'm going to come to you again a third time. Now, when it says this will be the third time I am coming to you, there's no indication, we don't have any kind of proof that he was actually there on a second visit. Maybe it was a letter that we're unaware of. Maybe this is the third time that he's talking about, that sending this letter to them. But I will come to you, and when I come to you, this is what it's going to be like. And whenever I look at something in the Word of God that has three in it, I'm always paying close attention. When you hear it for the third time, you pay attention. Have you ever noticed that most of your kids, most of us, have to be told three times before we do anything according to what's been requested of us? Our kids have, you know, we do the countdown, and we did all of that when our kids were growing up, and we 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, you know. How long is it going to take you to get this done? How and we never got to one because I was worried about what I was going to do when I got to one. So I'm so thankful that we never got there. But Paul is talking to them about this. This is the third time I am coming to you. And he says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Now, this is from Deuteronomy 15:15, I think. Every word will be established. He's not coming as a judge. He is coming as a counselor. He's not going to be the one that's going to be judging them. It will be God that judges them. And God will judge us. God, it is, when he comes again, when he comes again for his people, that great throne, white throne judgment, he will be the judge. And there will be one question asked. What did you do with Jesus? That's the question. What did you do with Jesus? Did you accept him as your Savior? Did you live your life for him? What did you do with Jesus? There's only a yes or no answer there. And so he said, I've told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, as if I were there the second time. And now being absent, I write to those who have sinned before and to all the rest that if I come again, I'm not going to spare, since you seek proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you all, since you seek proof of my apostleship, since you need something that says to you, do you remember when the Israelites, God, give us a sign, give us a sign. It was always, give us a sign. I've already given you a sign. Here in the New Testament we have, give us a sign. What are going to be the signs of this? I've already given you these signs. You already know what it is that I'm talking about. And Paul says, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak toward you, but he's mighty in me. He's not weak toward you. He's your strength as well, but he's also mighty in me. And for though he was crucified in weakness, though Jesus Christ was crucified in weakness, when you think about him being on the cross, when you think about those moments, those hours that he was there, when he was being beaten, when he was being walking through that Via Dolorosa, walking on his way there, carrying his own cross, as he was going there, he looked very weak. But it wasn't over. And it wasn't over because God said it wasn't over. And in that weakness, Father God said, okay, when the death of Jesus Christ's body happened, he was resurrected. Without that resurrection, we are of all men most miserable if we don't believe it. Because it is the resurrection that shows that Jesus Christ himself was without sin. He had no sin. Death could not hold him because there was no sin in his life. And as he died on that cross for your sins and for mine, that's what we're talking about here. Things are never as they seem. He looked weak. But in that weakness would come the triumph over sin and death. He was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God, by the power of Father God. He lives ever to make intercession for us. It wasn't his body that remained in that tomb. His body rose. It was changed. Changed so much that when he walked on the road to Emmaus with the men, they didn't even recognize who he was. Do you long for the day when you're changed into his likeness? Oh, I so long for the day when I'm changed into his likeness, when I'm compassionate and loving and caring, firm when I need to be, together when I need to be, weak even when I need to be, when I don't allow people to make their judgments, I don't receive those judgments, when I'm no longer a people pleaser, but a complete God pleaser. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. We shall live with him. Can you wait, ladies? Can you wait? Do you wake up in the morning sometimes and just go, is it today, God? Or is it those days like today when I woke up? Can it be today? Please, can it be today? You just want to be with him. I don't know if anybody else woke up like that this morning. It was just kind of like, I'll rise, but I refuse to shine completely at all. And, you know, you just can't, I think my body just said, you know that tea that you just did and the trip to Israel and all that stuff? I'm done. I don't know about you and your brain, but this is done. And so you give it a little rest. And so, just give it a rest. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him. We shall live with him. Do you live with him by the power of God's might today? Or are we waiting for that time? If I could just go to heaven, if I could just have this happen, if this would just happen, I'd be so content. No, we would not. Now, when we're in heaven, we will be content. But the Word of God says godliness with contentment is great gain. And so we have that gaining in our lives if we will have that godliness with contentment. Contentment alone is nice to people around you, but that godliness with contentment is the most important thing. So are we in the Word? Are we praying? Are we seeking His will for our lives? Are we moving in the things that we've learned? Are we going forward? Because ladies, if we are standing still, we're going backwards. Because everything else, everybody else is moving on. So we have to pay close attention to that. Verse 5, examine yourselves. Actually, verse 5 goes with the first part of verse 3, since you seek a proof of Christ in me, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Do we examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith? What does that mean? What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for? It's the evidence of things that are not seen. What things are you hoping to see? Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Am I in faith? Do I have the faith of Jesus Christ? Have I made that decision? I need to examine myself and decide whether or not I've made that decision. Did I truly give my life to the Lord? You know, there are a number of people that I have seen through the years who have come to Jesus in the, because they, you know, just in a moment of excitement and a moment of this or that or the other thing, and they're all over the place, and they're jumping around, and let me tell you about this, and let me tell you about this, and I want to tell you about my testimony. My testimony is blah, 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 blah. And you know what? It's not how high you jump, it's how straight you walk when you come down. It has everything to do with how we live our lives. Are we in the faith? Am I committed to Christ today? Today, right now. When I asked Jesus Christ to come and live in my heart, He did. And I have that Holy Spirit within me. That is true. But today, am I living in that faith? Today. Right now. Does my life show it? Test yourselves, he says. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? This is the proof that he was an apostle. Do you not know that when I came to you, many of you accepted Christ as your Savior, and here you are questioning my apostleship because of your questioning of the way that you're living right now? Are you looking at the way you're living right now? Are you living for Christ right now? There was something that came up recently, and it involved a little child and some things that they were doing, and I had talked to somebody about what kind of video games do you think that they are playing. And The response was, oh, they're Christians, so, you know, it would be fine. Do you know the number of Christians that I know that allow their children and even partake themselves in some of the most gruesome video games that are out there? Is that living for Christ? Does that bring glory to him? We're not talking just about video games. We're talking about all those other things. We've talked about it before. What kind of things am I watching? What kind of things am I reading? It has an effect on our life, and it takes us away from the place of walking in faith. Because we get all involved in this. Remember my mom, when she used to watch the soap operas, you know? She would talk about the people on General Hospital like they were her family, you know? And you know, Tom, Dr. Tom, I don't know what he's up to. I just, you know, and that nurse that came on, and then there was that person. And I'd be sitting there talking to her, feeling like, you know, I never met this part of my family. You get pulled in. You get pulled into those things that are really against the gospel. And they're destructive. Oh, it just has a little bit of violence in it. Oh, it just has a little bit of sex in it. Oh, it just has a little bit of whatever in it. Well, what about if I gave you a glass of grape juice? And I said, there's just a little bit of strychnine in there. Would you drink it? Why? Because it's poison. And these things that we allow in our lives when we follow after false teachers, we follow after things that don't have to do with the Word of God, we go against the things that we already know, we listen to people, and we don't check it out to make sure that what they're saying is the gospel, and it is poison to us. And we need to make sure that we're not in there. And it says, unless indeed you are disqualified. This word disqualified means the same word that in the Greek for testing. It was the testing of metals. Whether or not that metal was accepted as pure. Did it have, had it gone through all of the testing? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. If you will test yourself and see if you are in the faith, if you are walking with the Lord, please, people, remember, Paul says, we were the ones who took you there. We were the ones who showed you Christ. We're the ones who lived the way that we can tell you that you should live. So he's defending his apostleship a little bit there. Now I pray to God that you do no evil. And I pray all the time for those that I know, for myself as well, that I would not do any evil. There are going to be temptations that will come, but I pray that I will not do any evil. And so I do pray that when those temptations come, that the Lord would strengthen us in those temptations. Strengthen us to stand against them and to not give in to them. Not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. You may look at us now because you've been looking at false teachers and you've been following their way. You might look at us as untested. You might look at us as being people who are disqualified. But look again. You know the test for a true metal. You know how the metal guy, whatever his name is, how he leans over the pot and scoops off the dross that are the, yeah, it's the dross on the top. It's the dregs in the bottom. Okay, the dross on the top. And when he can see himself in the metal, that's when it's been tested. That's when it's pure. When he can see himself. He's saying, we're not disqualified. Look at us. You can see the purity of Jesus in us. you know that we have lived that way. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so this scripture here, we can do nothing against Jesus, but for Jesus. We won't do anything against him. We will not teach you things that are untrue. For we are glad when you are weak, when we are weak and you're strong. We are fine with going through what we've been through. And sometimes I think he might have thought, could we just remind you of the things, the little things that we went through, you know, the being in prison, being stoned, little things like that. We're happy to do that. I just want you to know, we're happy to do that for you, that you would have the gospel. When I think of Pastor Saeed, who is in prison right now, you know, I pray for him to be released. But again, I think this man is in a place where he didn't just get there and God, you know, got past God. You know, he didn't just, oh no, they've got him. I'm going to have to do whatever I can to get him out. I don't know. Can you just see God doing that? No. God has him there for a time, for this particular time. I think he's there gladly, going through the suffering for the gospel's sake. Now, I'm speaking for him, but I'm only speaking by what I see in this man. He was in a place sharing the gospel at a place where he knew that this was a possibility. So I have to think in my heart, being like Jesus, he would be there with the purpose of bringing the gospel to the other. And gladly, he would be in their weakness so that they are strong. And this also we pray, that you may be made complete. Complete. Complete in him. A husband does not complete you. Children do not complete you. A best friend does not complete you. A new house does not complete you. Nothing else completes you but that relationship with Jesus Christ. We can have nothing outside of that. That you may be made complete. Therefore, I write these things, verse 10, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification and not for destruction. I don't want to get, I know that I was looking at you face to face, I probably want to hit you, is what he's saying. But my heart breaks for you, is also what he's saying. And you know when you're hurt, do you ever lash out when you're hurt? And you say things, you know, you just wish you hadn't said it. You wish it hadn't gotten out of your mouth. Not you guys, but I've done that. But that's what he's kind of saying. That I don't want to speak to you in sharpness, although I have authority to do that. Remember when Jesus was at the money changers' tables? He was angry. He was upset, and he showed his anger. But it was godly anger. That's what this is right here. Paul had a godly anger, a godly jealousy for these people who were being led astray by false apostles, by false teachers. He loved them in the same way that Jesus did. And he wanted to use it for edification, for lifting them up, and not for their destruction. And then verse 11, finally, brethren, farewell. Wrapping up, he says. Farewell. This word, farewell, means, I wrote it down because I knew I wouldn't remember it. After bidding them farewell, the greeting literally means rejoice. And so after all of this that he said in this whole letter, he said, finally, brethren, rejoice. Rejoice. And then he delivers four exhortations to him. Become complete. Become complete in Jesus. That's our prayer for you, that you would become complete. So, number one, become complete. Be of good comfort. Also understood as be encouraged or be exhorted. They had been given some pretty strong admonitions by him. But he says, I want you to be encouraged. There's a way out of where you're at right now. There's a way out, and it's Jesus. And it's you looking to him as the author and the finisher of your faith. Be of one mind. How many times has that happened with you and your husband, or you and your mom, or you and your... How many times do we walk in that one mind? Only when we're walking with Jesus. We can only be of that one mind going in the same direction when we're walking with Jesus. Time and time again, I've gone to the Pastors' Wives Conference, and there had been things that I'd been going through all through the year, and I thought I was the only one that went through this stuff. I thought I was the only one that was suffering in this way. And then I get to the Pastors' Wives Conference, and a bunch of pastors' wives are going through the same thing, and they begin to talk about it. And all of a sudden, all of us realize that's what it means to be of one mind. That's what it means to be part of the body. The body's moving together. And although we don't realize it, we're all kind of going through similar things at the same time. But no, nobody else has ever been through this. I'm just, no. Being of one mind. Being of one mind. And live in peace. He is our peace. We cannot be living in peace without the one-mindedness, without following the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot have that peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Now, isn't God always with us? Isn't he always there? This seems to indicate if you're at these places, if you become complete, if you are encouraged, if you're of one mind, if you live in peace, then God will be with you. This particular verse says, then God will be made manifest to you. He'll show himself to you. He's always there, but he'll show himself to you in the time when you need it the most. Greet one another with a holy kiss. This is a holy kiss. This is not a pretend affection for someone. It's not, we always think of this holy kiss as what Judas did, don't we? But it was that thing of respect and care for that person. It wasn't phony. It was real. A holy kiss. And in many cultures, that still goes on today, with a kiss on the cheek or both cheeks or whatever. But in America, we tend to do a holy handshake for the most part, or maybe a little holy hug or whatever. But greet one another. That's the important thing. Greet one another. Don't ignore. Greet one another. All of the saints greet you. You guys are not alone, he's saying. In Corinth, you are not alone. All of the saints are sending out their greeting to you. Now, verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, and the love of God, God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. This is one of those places where the Trinity does show up, although that word is not shown in there. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion. We have that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's riches at Christ's expense, and the love of God. What kind of love is that? That is that agape love, that ever-accepting love. And the communion. You know, when you take communion, you take on the death of Christ. You have communion with someone. You're communing with someone. You're becoming one with them. And the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And so we finish 2 Corinthians. And so what does that do now that I know this letter, now that I've learned so much in it? How will it change my life? And I know I almost always say this at the end of our studies, but that's the important thing, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. What will I do with what I now know? Will I walk in it? Will I determine in my heart to be the person that God's called me to be? Will I grow up? I keep wondering if I'm ever going to grow up. There are areas where I just want to be grown up in those. Some things I'd rather play on the skateboard, but you know, there are things I need to grow up in. And so how will we do that with what we've learned in 2 Corinthians? I'm excited to see you guys next week, to be here with Margaret and to be able to see what she has to share with us. It's really, really good. I've heard it myself, so it's great. And I encourage you to be here next week, okay? And so, Lord, I thank you for the day that we've had today. I thank you, Father, that you have spoken your word, that you love us, that you care for us, Lord. And Father, we even right now, I just want to pray for the retreat that's coming up, Lord, not in a way that makes people feel like they better sign up, but Lord, just as we're working on it, being very aware, Lord, of your presence and of your direction with it. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Father, to hear from you and to move in the direction that you move. Father, may we always be complete in you. Recognize that we are complete in you. Lord, that you really are all that we need. Nothing else completes us, just you. And we are thankful. Lord, we pray for our country. Oh God, would you cause us, Lord, to repent? And I know you're doing that. You're working toward that, Lord, causing us to repent. Father, I pray for every Christian that is on these United States soil, Lord, that we would all humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways so that you can hear from heaven and heal our land. Make us wise, Lord. You told us that we are wise as serpents and gentle as doves, and we want to live that. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you so much. We love you and we will honor you. We'll do our very, very best to do all that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up, hands up, hands up, all believers,
take up your cross and carry it on.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.